So 191 days. I got to ask you about day 192. What happened after you finished your 191-day adventure?
So I had a very clear plan, which was do it for 191 days full on. I actually had an objective to try and break myself, so to speak, to sort of push myself to the limit to find what breaking point was. I remember hearing Casey Stoner one time saying, after he won the world championship, they said to him, you know, last year fell off a lot, this year you won the world championship. You know, what do you put the difference down to? And he said, well, sometimes you've got to fall off to know where the limit is, which I thought, you know, riding a bike was taking it to an extreme, a motorbike, traveling at 300 kilometers an hour. But so I pushed myself to the point of breaking point just to see what I could handle. At the end of the 191 days, I was quite relieved because it was like, okay, the foot's off the pedal, so to speak. And I'd set myself then 2 months through December and January of sort of like not training, just going back to living a normal life, so to speak, go to work, do whatever I was doing. I wasn't going to train, drink alcohol if I wanted to, or I'd eat a pizza if I wanted to. I just took the shackles off because I wanted to experience what it felt like immediately after, because I was feeling so good, you know, in the last month or two, because I was doing so many things that were aligned with where I was trying to go. That I thought, well, let's start drinking beer again. Let's have pizza. Let's not train. Let's see what it feels like. And I wanted to get that comparison, which the plan was to do it for 2 months and then start my At Thriving Lifestyle Instagram page. And as of February 1, then live then as per what I'd learned. So yeah, I went back and I guess lived a normal life, so to speak, which was quite strange. I felt like I was cheating myself in some ways. I felt like I was letting down what I'd done. I felt like I was not living the life that I could because I was just living the way I was living previously, which is quite strange because I'd experienced what living life in a thriving way felt like. So yeah, there was a fair letdown and I probably enjoyed it for a couple of days, to be honest. But then I actually was like, wow, I don't feel like I know I really like this. And then I realized that's the way I was living my life prior. So that's the reason why I created my Thriving Lifestyle page and sort of just decided to work through that this year.
That's really interesting. And I think a lot of people can relate to that now because of COVID enforced isolation. Many of us, you know, who, and I work for myself from home, so it's not a big deal for me, but for other people who worked in an office, they commuted to every day, not having to commute, not having to go to the office, maybe having a couple of Zoom meetings where they wear their pajamas. No one can tell, right? Maybe that felt a little fun for a while. And then malaise sets in. It's like, oh my God, I can't stand this. I want to be with my cohort. I want to be inspired by them. I want to share that energy and stuff like that. And it's almost like when you've gone to the gym and you've worked out and you've done that workout journey from I can barely lift a 1 pound weight to, hey, I'm benching 250 and I'm feeling good about it, to suddenly lose a couple of days working out, that hurts because it's like starting over again. And you know where you can thrive. You know where you can take your life and be intentional about living your life. And to just have that go away is really, really hard. And I think that's what happens to a lot of professional athletes when they retire. They're aimless. They lose everything because they don't have the disciplined workflow for keeping themselves in top shape. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Kind of the, I was performing at a heightened level and then I kicked it down a notch or dropped down a gear and it didn't feel great dropping down that gear.
I think we do what we do and we do it to a point where we're comfortable, and I push myself way past the boundary or the parameter that I thought possible, and I realized, well, you can actually feel like this and you can actually go through the day feeling like this. But if you don't know it because things are comfortable in your life, then you don't push yourself. So because I push myself, I realize that, well, that's possible. It's possible to develop and grow and feel this way during the day and have situations that maybe went like this work differently. So, you know, most of the time people don't change because they're complacent or they're comfortable. I wanted to push myself past that. And when I did, I realized, well, actually, this is a better way to be living my life and then feeling a better way to feel. But then to go back and deliberately do it myself intentionally, say, well, okay, now I know what it feels like now. Feel like this, let's see what it feels like the other way, like I was. Yeah, it was a drastic. It was my decision. It wasn't like anyone else made it. So I realized how easy you can make that decision. You know, the decision to do one or the other was just like, okay, I'm going to do this. No, I'm going to do that. Now I'm going to go back. And, you know, obviously there's a ripple effect of everything that you do. So as soon as I stopped training and as soon as I stopped doing all the things I was doing, there's, you know, a ripple effect to other people and other things and other situations. And, you know, how tired I was feeling all of a sudden and how lethargic and lazy I was feeling. I was going, wow, I wasn't feeling like that for many months, and all of a sudden I am, and now I'm doing less and feeling more tired and feeling less energized and feeling like less motivated. It was crazy just because I did it to myself. I felt the difference. often it might happen to somebody like COVID, but it happens not by your own choice, or it's happening gradually, so you don't notice it. I really noticed it because I was sort of doing an analysis of myself through that process. It's like my own sort of self-study, and I was just seeing how I felt. So yeah, it was, you know, I felt like I was letting myself down because I knew what was possible. I think, you know, if you stopped and looked, you'd say, well, geez, I can do a lot more, but I just don't really need to because everything's good, you know? I think that's where a lot of people that I talk to are at. You know, they're just like, well, I don't need to because I've got these things, but where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Most people that I talk to go, I don't know, I'm not really sure. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. It's like, there's that uncertainty and that complacency I really don't like in myself. So that's why I push myself.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question. Your 191-day journey was all about trying to qualify for the Australian Open golf tournament. How'd that work out?
Yeah, so the day started off okay, didn't end up okay. I had a decent front nine, only three people or four people qualify out of a couple of hundred. I think my course was, three out of 100 actually, out of my course. So I missed out. I played okay at the front, as I said, not so great at the back, but I realized I was probably, I didn't plan myself that well as far as resting. I pushed myself to the last day. So I feel like when I actually got there, I was probably gassed out, to be honest. So I didn't qualify, but which was really disappointing to some degree, but I just reframed everything to remind myself that my goal wasn't really to qualify, even though that was the end point, and goal was to commit for 191 days and be vulnerable and honest and true to that journey. And I did that. So even though the first feeling and emotion to missing was disappointment, I quickly switched that around to, you know, the excitement of what I achieved in that time.
Yeah, well, you certainly inspired a lot of people, including this guy here just outside Madison, Wisconsin, USA, because I heard your story and, you know, literally I got back from social media marketing world on Wednesday night, took Thursday and continued thinking about the fire hose I just drank from because there was so much great information. But then on that Friday, I thought about you and your story as relayed by Todd Austin of Fletch Digital in Sydney, Australia. And I connected it to another thing that I witnessed in San Diego. And that was my friend, Melanie Diesel, who had a brand new book that she had completed and she had a hard copy for me. And, you know, we took a photo of her with her book and it just so happened to be the exact same photo that we took with my book from 2017. And I'm looking at that photo going, God, I got to do a new book. And then I thought about Christian Small doing 191 days adventure trying to qualify for the Australian Open. And I thought, I got to do that. So I did what you did, which was I wanted to have a new book for 2021. I looked on, you know, some calendar website online and I did a back timing and realized I had 301 days until the end of the year. So currently I'm on day 176.
Well done.
Yeah, of every single night going live on YouTube Live, Twitch, and Facebook Live. And I'm writing the book, or I'm advancing the book forward. Not every night do I do it, some writing, because there are some nights where I'm just totally, I've got nothing. But I can always do a little bit of editing or proofreading, arranging, cleaning things up, designing, all that stuff. But the whole point is, I was inspired by your huge, audacious goal of 191 days. And I decided to do it myself because I'm asking the same questions you were asking yourself, which was, I can do more than this. I need to break out of some of the things, some of the habits I have. You know, you can listen to our previous episodes last week to hear exactly why you did what you did. But in my case, it was, you know what? I think I'm just like Christian. I need people to hold me accountable. And the people holding me accountable are the people who might be watching my live stream.
Well done. Congratulations. That's awesome.
You know, and that technique is huge because if you set out there and you say something like, I'm going to run a marathon. Yeah. Everybody says that. But if you show every day that here are the new shoes I got and here's how I'm training, you know, I'm taking an off day today, but that just means I'm going to eat very carefully. What all of a sudden you got people believing in you.
I was going to say a couple of things I just wanted to mention to you. One of the things that I did in my process of change was I started running, which I'm 6'3" and was 105 kilos when I started. So running distances wasn't something that was probably conducive to my body shape. So, you know, in that process of 191 days, I went from 105 kilos, I went down to 90 kilos, so dropped 15 kilos. But I wanted to improve my 6 kilometer running time that I run around my house here in Cronulla. And when I started, I was running, well, I couldn't run 6 kilometers, to be honest. I ran 4Ks and sort of walked back. But I got that time down from 38 minutes down to below 29 minutes. I improved it 10 minutes in that time.
Yeah, that's impressive.
A particular night, I was like, you know what? I hadn't broken 29 minutes and I'd sort of set my goal to break 29 minutes in 191 days. So my post was, tonight I'm about to go for a run. I'll be breaking 29 minutes tonight. And I put it out there. I sent a message to a couple of friends and said, here's what I'm doing. I'm doing it tonight. And I'd had a long day at work. I had the kids. I put them to bed. It was like 9 o'clock at night and I went out. You know, it was cold. I went out and ran and I broke 29 minutes for the first time. I got back in. I was like, that's amazing. You know, like I've run lots of times and I hadn't broken 29 minutes. And tonight I went out feeling like everything was against me. I had poor preparation. I hadn't eaten good during the day because I'd been so busy. And I went out and I broke 29 minutes that night. I'd actually said to a couple of my mates, I'm doing it tonight. You know, this, but when I was out there running and I was struggling, I just remembered that. And that sort of kept me on track and pushed me that little bit further. And when I finished, I was like, I let out a massive scream in the street. I was just like, wow, how did that? Like, I just, you know, that point of hurting physically and mentally when you're running to actually push past it because you said, you know what, I'm going to do it today. Really cool.
Well, it just proves the power of manifestation. You know, I'm not a big believer in the Book of Secrets or any of that stuff, but I do believe that if you can see it, you can be it. And sometimes the thing you have to see is just, I'm doing it tonight.
Yeah. The other thing was I've got a guy who's a friend of mine who is a really inspiring guy who lives his life in an inspiring way, who I look up to, who I was probably about 160 days in, and he comes to me one day and he says, I saw him and he said to me, I've been following what you're doing and I'm really inspired by it. I was like, yeah, right, why? Like the whole time along, I didn't really feel like I was doing anything special. But to get a guy who inspires me, who I look to the way he lives his life and the way he acts and responds and behaves, was like a big thing for me to sort of hear that. And he said, I'm retired. I've got everything going my way. I don't have any responsibility. My life is fantastic. He said, I can't get half the stuff done in a day you get done. He said, you're working, you've got a wife and family, you've got lots of responsibilities and you're doing stuff. It's amazing. And he said, what I want to do, whether you qualify for the Australian Open or not, he said, I want to reward you in some way for what you've done because it's amazing. In fact, you've done 160-something days of it. And I said to him, okay, what do you exactly mean? And he said, well, I want to donate some money to a charity of your choice. All you've got to do is finish 191 days. And if you do, I'll donate $10,000 to whatever charity you choose.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, pretty cool to think that person who, you know, is at that stage in their life, who, you know, he's retired at 50, he's an amazing guy. His name's Clive Mayhew, came to me and was that affected in a positive way by what I was doing. And, you know, he said to me, you tell me who you want the charity to be and I'll just, you know, I'll donate the money on your behalf. So that was a pretty moving moment and something that was pretty amazing. And something that in one of my posts after, I had another person come to me, a lady actually, who said, I saw what you posted. I'd like to donate $1,000 also to that same charity. So I ended up donating $11,000 to the Lighthouse Foundation, which is a charity that looks after kids that are in trouble at home in Melbourne.
If you need to know if you're making an impact on someone, look for people who put their name at the bottom of a check or buy your services or are happily recommending you to other people. That is the most sincere form of thank you. But also, I'm going to say, sorry, I got to bring it back to this, but marketing, because they are now indicating that they are going to be active evangelists for you and your services to anyone who might ask. And, you know, I can only guess, again, I'm only guessing, but if someone stumbled upon your journey, saw who you are, what you're doing, how you're doing it, was impressed by it, and all of a sudden they thought, I would love to get some lessons to become a better golfer. Who's going to be the only person that they think of calling? I'm going to say it's you, because you've already created a relationship with them, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
Via the most powerful tools out there, social media. I mean, let's face it, we're communicating right now via social media. I'm in Wisconsin, USA. You're down in, what is that, New South Wales?
That's right, yeah.
The other side of the flipping world. And we're doing it, we're creating a relationship that's meaningful via something that could be used for ill or good. We're using it for good, if you ask me. I'm just so amazed by that entire thing, that whole story about the people who are actually giving money to charity based on the inspiration you provide. Congratulations on that.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Handley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
How has your business been since doing this 191-day challenge? Has it been flat, negative, plus?
So what happened in 2020 is with COVID in Sydney, we had to homeschool our kids. So I got 3 of them. So I decided to leave my role after 6 years at the Lakes. I was the head teaching professional there and made the decision to homeschool, which was a hard one. So I did that for 3 months. And in that period between leaving the Lakes and starting where I am now, I had a golf club contact me and say, "Look, we've had lots of people, members of the club, let us know that you've left where you were at. We'd love to talk to you if there's an opportunity when you do start back, because we heard you're homeschooling your kids, to come and work with us," which was amazing. I was, because I left my role, not having a job basically, but needing to because of the situation to homeschool. Anyway, I went and met with them and decided to do 1 day a week, which I could do because my wife was working 6 days. So I was going to do 1 day a week, and it was a club called Bonnie Doon, as you mentioned earlier, which I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be there. But once the kids went back to school and things in Sydney sort of normalized a little bit more than maybe what they are in other places around the world, kids are back to school 5 days. I started doing more, and you know, I'm back doing 5 days again, which is really cool. And I'm the busiest I've ever been in my entire life with teachings. Yeah, I'm booked out a couple of weeks in advance, and I've got no doubt that, as you said before, that someone looks and they, you know, they think, "Where will I go?" And they sort of look at my profile. They sort of go, "Well, this guy's true to his word, and he's open and honest and vulnerable. And if I want to go and improve, well, I'm sure that I can go and do that with him." So definitely helped my teaching business, and it's got it to the point now where I'm really trying to expand that profile that I created sort of unknowingly in some form through YouTube and a YouTube page, which is Momentum Golf as well. And so using that platform to develop it further. So yeah, it's been really cool.
I just want to pull out my highlighter and highlight what you just said, which was, I left my job after having done this 191-day challenge for obvious reasons, make total sense and all that stuff. And somebody came to me with a job offer. Did they ask to see any curriculum vitae or resume or anything like that? Or was it directly up, "Hey, we'd love to have you"?
Yeah, no, it was funny. They actually just said, "We want you to start. When? What do you want to do?" And I actually sent my CV just because I wanted to.
Right.
Because I felt like they didn't know anything about me, but maybe they knew more than I thought.
But that's the whole thing. They already knew who you were, what you do, and how you do it because you demonstrated it for 191 days. I mean, that's the power of building a personal brand. And I'm sure you didn't set out and say, "I'm going to create a personal brand by doing a 191-day challenge." No, you had a different goal.
Yeah, sorry. I thought as a coach, I was like, you mentioned before, a point of difference. And my point of difference is how I teach, which you can only experience really if you have a lesson. And I'm not saying I'm any better or worse than anybody. It's just a different way I do it. And when you have a lesson, you experience that. And what I posted and the way I wrote and what I did was similar to that, is that it is honest and accountable. And, you know, it's realistic about the situation, and you've got to be vulnerable sometimes. And, you know, when you're trying to improve in anything, you know, those things have got to be able to be discussed. And, you know, and that's what I do in my teaching, and that's how I get people to play so well. I've had some amazing success over the last multiple years with golfers of all different levels and ages. And this is because I can feel like I can connect with people on a level that they get. And once you can understand that person, you can really get through and hit home and really make some improvements in their golf and, you know, often in how they assess situations and sometimes in their life as well.
Yeah. And you get those opportunities because they come to you prepped and prepared and aware of who you are, what you do and how you do it, because you demonstrated it.
Yeah. I've definitely noticed that the people come saying stuff and mentioning stuff. They go, "Okay, you've obviously looked and looked at what I did." So like you said, they are prepped. I've seen that, and I'm noticing that a lot more often at the moment based on what happened last year.
Yeah. And all this stuff still resides up there in the social media sphere. And people, you know, they find one thing and all of a sudden they follow that ferret trail wherever it goes. And they find out, wow, this guy, Christian Small, is a really cool guy. Maybe I should talk to him. And undoubtedly they do, because as you say, they already have. I mean, this is how personal branding works, how small business branding works, because you are a small business, but you're also a person, and there's no separating yourself from your small business. And people are taking note of it and inviting you into their orbit to make the most of everything. So, wow, good on you, mate, as you'd say down under.
Thank you.
I am so thrilled to be able to talk to you. I'm sorry I was such a pit bull about getting you on the horn, but this story is so good. And I frankly, can I include it in the book I'm writing right now? Because I want more people to be exposed to who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And the story is just too good not to make it to the United States of America.
Sure, it'd be an honor. Thank you.
Well, that kind of wraps things up for today. What a great story, Christian. Thanks for being on the podcast. I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. And he, of course, is
Christian Small.
And I'll be back talking at you next week. Bye-bye.